Weather every 15 minutes right here on WTGR. It's the Community Ties Program with Joel Branningham on Tiger Country, 97.5 WTGR.
Welcome to Community Ties for this Wednesday, September 10th. We're here following the 11 a.m. news and weather update, Monday through Friday, visiting with nonprofit groups and organizations, talking about who they are, how they serve the community, how you can become involved with them, as well as about special events they may be holding, including fundraisers. This time of year, we talk to organizers of other events and fundraisers as well. Also, community leaders throughout Western Ohio and Eastern Indiana, and elected officials and others as well, to, again, just keep you informed as to what's happening around the area. As we, there are some regular guests to this program that we have as well, including Wayne Healthcare, as they are normally with us on the second Wednesday of each month and are here today. And definitely want to thank Deanna Raper, who is the cardiopulmonary manager at Wayne Healthcare, for being here. Thank you very much. And, well, we were hoping to have Lauren, but she can't make it today, so Terry's filling in. So thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
And we appreciate you. But we are going to start with Deanna talking about flu season. Well, first of all, yeah. I know you want to talk about one or both of you about the fact that September is Pain Awareness Month. Yeah. There's always an area of health that's emphasized. Maybe it's breast cancer awareness, maybe it's men's health, maybe mm-hmm. it's heart health, whatever the case. And this month happens to be about pain awareness. So I'll let you talk about that if you want to, and then about flu season, because even though we visited with the health department recently, and they said, well, flu, they're not quite ready to have their flu clinics yet, but flu shots will soon be available. But yeah. since we are heading into the fall season, mm-hmm. this is the time to think about that, because obviously flu cases are going to go up, right? And colds are becoming more common.
Yes, and, yes. So hi everyone. I just want to talk a little bit about flu. Being a respiratory therapist, we get involved with the flu season quite often. We've actually seen some cases early this year, even in July and some August. Typically our flu season's October through March, with the peak really being around December through February, around the holidays, is usually the really peak season. Flu again is a virus. It spreads quickly through contact, airborne transmission. Sometimes we have, during flu season, we have what we call the rhinovirus, which is commonly called the common cold. Excuse me. Of course, COVID been prevalent since 2020, and then the RSV. Season is also from October to March. That's another common one. It's been around for a while. We used to see it a lot more in young children, infants, preemies, but we're seeing it more and more in the adult population, especially the senior adults. Some of the symptoms of the flu can be mild. Some of them can be more severe. Typically, people will have like a fever, or feeling feverish, got chills, cough, sore throat. Sometimes they'll have a stuffy or runny nose, muscle and body aches, headaches, fatigue. And some may even have some symptoms of vomiting and diarrhea. But that's often seen in children more than adults. The biggest prevention measure that we can do, one, taking the time to get the flu vaccination. There is a group of population that's more susceptible to having more severe symptoms, and that is going to be your very young children, preemies, pregnant ladies, and then your older senior adults. So again, if you can, you can get the flu vaccination. That helps lessens your risk of getting the flu. Avoid close contact with anybody who is sick. Generally, if you become sick with the flu, the biggest thing you can do is kind of limit your contact with other people. Washing your hands helps, covering your cough, your sneezes. Used to be they always said cover your cough and sneezes with your hands, but again, your hands are a big transmission of germs. So a lot of times people will cough in your elbow. Put your hand up, cover your mouth with your cough into your elbow. Or sometimes if I'm wearing like t-shirts or something, you can raise your shirt up, cover your mouth. You can cough and sneeze under your shirt. So those are some of those tips. The other thing is to make sure you're staying hydrated. Some people will get very dehydrated with the fever if they are having vomiting, diarrhea. So staying hydrated, get rest. And wear a mask. Sometimes people will wear a mask if they're feeling sick, if they have to get out, like if they have to go to the doctor or something like that. You can't wear a mask. But avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth as well.
Yeah, which is hard to do. I know there are a lot of those things that are easier said than done. When you say hydrate, one thing I wanted to ask you about is because I know people who have had the flu and they know that they're supposed to drink water, but sometimes that maybe is an effect where they don't, you know, water's not their favorite thing to drink. But what else can people drink? I mean, there's Pedialyte. Are there drinks like that that are effective if you do, as an adult, I mean, if you have a flu?
Gatorade, Pedialyte, any of the sports energy drinks, because that's going to have your electrolytes. It's going to have your potassium, your sodium, your chloride that your body needs. So again, even if, you know, I know water gets kind of bland after a while, but if you can drink like Gatorade, Pedialyte, any of those works.
Okay. Because I do know people, including my own father, who cannot stand, he doesn't drink water unless he has to take medication and things like that. But that's one thing he prefers is Pedialyte and being a senior. Yes. That's probably, his doctors told him that that's beneficial for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, to drink on a regular basis, not just when he has the flu, but also just to stay hydrated, because that's important for people, right, certain ages and who have certain maybe health issues or risks or whatever, that even if they don't feel thirsty, or again, they don't have the cold, have a cold or the flu or something like that, it's still important, right, for them to stay hydrated, hydrated in those ways.
Yes, it is. It's very important to stay hydrated. A lot of times in some of my experience with family members, even when they don't drink a lot, they can get dizziness. They feel weak. That can lead to increased falls, especially in the older population as well. So it's just important to stay hydrated.
And that's one thing that my mom's noticed with my dad, too, is it's he. I mean, he has mobility issues anyway, but they especially are pronounced when he hasn't been hydrating as much as possible. He is weaker. He's not able to do just some of the simple things with his arms and legs. Yeah. And that's why his doctor has tried to tell him, it's like, okay, you've got to hydrate even if you're not thirsty. Just keep drinking water.
Yes.
And that's why, right?
Absolutely. Yep. I know my mother had, she got told she had to drink two liters of water a day, and she does not like to drink water at all. She's like your father. She doesn't like to drink, but I got her a cup that measured how many ounces you should drink every hour, and she carried that around faithfully. So she actually did very good. She listened to the doctor, but it is very important, especially as you get older.
And really, with just a lot of things like that, it's probably a good idea to talk to your doctor about alternatives. Let's say you just, water's just, I don't know, nasty to you, don't like it, or I don't know, there's something that you're supposed to drink or something that you're supposed to eat. And if you just really don't like it, the best thing probably to do is to talk to a doctor instead of just saying, oh, well, I don't really need to eat that. I don't really need to drink that. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. But there might be alternatives to something you can eat or drink that will keep you healthy instead of typical water or whatever.
Yeah, talk to your physician, or even talk to a clinical dietitian. They're very good at, you know, balancing meals. So that would be another option too. Talk to your dietitian.
Yeah, you could get, again, whatever vitamins, nutrients, hydration, whatever it might be, from something other than what is typically, what the doctor tells you. Yes. And that's just, again, this is a good idea just to ask questions and find out more information. We talk about that here, whoever coming in from Wayne Healthcare is just about communicating and how important, especially as you do grow older, as you do become more at risk for illnesses and whatever else, to talk to your doctor and keep that communication open. You know, when they ask you how you're feeling, or say, hey, doc, I don't know if this is a big deal or not, but I've been noticing this lately, or I've been feeling like this lately. And it might be nothing, but it also might be a sign of something more serious. And how important, I mean, both of you, if you want to chime in on that, how important is it, do you think, whether it's during a regular checkup, or if you're at the doctor or the hospital for a certain reason, to communicate really even what might seem like unimportant or really mm-hmm. tiny things with the doctor.
Do you want to answer?
You can answer.
I think it's important, but I over the years I've noticed people, when they think it's minor, they kind of just brush it off. I personally do that as well. I kind of brush it off, but I think as society, as we get older, we need to talk about every little thing just to make sure it doesn't become something major. So I do think it's important to mention those things. You might think it's minute, like you said, but it could be the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. Including respiratory mm-hmm. issues, because some people might think, oh, well, I don't have, the endurance I used to have, or, maybe my lungs don't work, they're not as strong as they used to be. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, again, if it's harder for them to catch their breath, for example, or something like that, or they get tired more easily mm-hmm. when they walk and do something that they used to. It used to just maybe not faze them at all, but now, but those are things, again, to communicate with the doctor. They might not mean you have mm-hmm. any problems at all, mm-hmm. but it's just, again, important to communicate that, isn't it?
Shortness of breath can be a lot of different things. I mean, that could be a first symptom of several things. I mean, it can be heart issue. It could be lung issues. It can be multiple things. So you have to be mindful of that.
Could be COPD, and I know mm-hmm. that there are cases that are fairly mild. Sometimes people think of something as like, oh, no, COPD, that's mm-hmm. fatal. It could be something serious, but... Like other things, you just need to talk to your doctor about it. Mm-hmm. And if it's treated on a regular basis, you can live with it and, fairly normal life.
Well, and the other thing, too, when people get diagnosed with chronic lung disease like that, COPD or something like that, working with your doctor, but also, too, their head programs. We have one at Wayne. It's pulmonary rehab, where you go, you learn about different disease processes, but it's also like a training session. You build up your endurance, because as you have problems breathing, you may not be as active as you once were. You get active, you get short of breath, and then you start having anxiety. You get more short of breath. You get more anxiety. You get more short of breath. It becomes a vicious cycle. So with pulmonary rehab, we bring patients in. We help them build up the tolerance to exercise. We give them education about their disease and techniques to help them do daily living activities, such as making the bed or getting dressed, doing laundry, stuff like that that just wears some people out. So we do have a really good program at Wayne that teaches people that. I actually had to go through the program myself after I had COVID a year ago, and it was very helpful. I mean, they help you build up your tolerance. You start out small, but you work your way up, and it was very beneficial. So,
all right, and we do have to take a break, but again, if people think they have the flu, it's okay to get checked out by a doctor.
Yes.
Give them a call. Even if you don't think it's a big deal, there's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with mm-hmm. making an appointment, right, or mm-hmm. Checking out those symptoms. And most of all, just to stay home, because honestly, that's one of the things that bothers me the most. Other people is that they want to go about their daily life, and I get it. They may think, okay, well, I'm busy. I've got to go to work. I've got to do this and that. But you also have to take care of yourself, first of all, mm-hmm. so you can get healthy. And then you also don't want to put others at risk, because, and I think this was brought to the forefront during COVID, is the fact that you don't know how what you have might affect other people. Mm-hmm. Again, it might be minor for you. I mean, even when I tested positive for COVID, I didn't have any symptoms, but I still stayed away from everybody because mm-hmm. I could have given it to somebody who mm-hmm. then might have had much more serious symptoms. Mm-hmm. And that really could be the case with the flu, is you just don't know who you're going to encounter or who you might spread that to, that again could affect them way
completely
worse than does you.
Mm-hmm. Completely differently, yeah. Because when I had COVID, I didn't have a lot of respiratory issues, but it still affected my breathing, because even when I went to pulmonary rehab, it was like, I don't have the strength, I don't have the energy or the endurance to do what I had been doing. So it hits you and you really don't even notice it. But yeah, I think it's important.
Again, with symptoms, and particularly if you are around people who are at risk or senior citizens. But I just think that's, I hope that people will, and I'm sure, I know you two echo that, if you're not feeling well, rest, take medication, and stay away from other people because, they again could become infected a lot worse than what you are. So
absolutely.
Anything else, Deanna, that you have to
I can't think of anything else.
No. Mentioned as far as the flu season is concerned. And,
yes, and it's coming.
Yeah, I'll go say, I mean, we're talking about 80-degree weather right now, and it's still officially summer, but cold and flu season is going to be here maybe sooner than we think.
Probably. And as Terry just said, it seems like it's here, because like we've had cases of the flu back in late July, so it's kind of starting a little early. So,
all right, and obviously said the flu shots can help. Certainly, at least help reduce symptoms.
Hopefully help you keep you healthy through the year. But at least if you do get the flu, you won't get it as bad, hopefully.
All right. Well, thank you for that important information. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to hear from Terry here in just a moment about apron strings and a health and wellness event, Healthy Moments. Touch on all that coming up next on Community Ties on Tiger Country 97.5 WTGR.